the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Questions about George W. Bush's military record continue to hound the White House, and the White House late last night responded by releasing dental records. The dental records, received among a batch of other medical records which were not released, provide proof that Bush actually did serve in the Guard while in Alabama in 1972, according to Press Secretary Scott McClellan. Democratic critics are quick to point out that Bush promised to release all records pertaining to his Guard service, and that the selective release is raising more questions than it is answering. An aerospace executive warned a presidential commission Wednesday that NASA does not have enough money to achieve George W. Bush's goal of returning astronauts to the moon and flying from there to Mars. Undertaking a new space objective on the cheap would be an invitation to disaster, said Norman Augustine, retired chairman of the Lockheed Martin Corporation and head of a panel that examined the future of the space program for the first President Bush. The ongoing war in Iraq cost about $4 billion in September, spiked to $7 billion in October, and hit just under $3 billion in November, the Pentagon said Wednesday in its latest report on how much the military operation costs. Congress has already approved $166 billion for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Pentagon has said it does not expect the Bush administration to seek another spending bill until January 2005, but the chiefs of the Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps suggested Tuesday that money will run out by the end of September. More than 27,000 defense contractors owe a total of $3 billion in unpaid taxes, according to government records reviewed by congressional investigators. That represents almost 14% of the contractors registered with the Pentagon as of February 2003, according to auditors at the General Accounting Office. They tallied total taxes owed by the contractors in the budget year that ended September 30, 2002. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Barbara Bennett wanted to sell her Brother brand sewing machine, so she bought a classified advertisement under miscellaneous in the Columbian newspaper in Vancouver, Washington. Instead, the words sewing machine were accidentally dropped, leaving a Brother for sale ad. One caller wanted to know if the price was negotiable. Another, upon hearing what was actually for sale, said merely thank you and hung up. Bennett, a customer service representative, said Tuesday she has two brothers in California and is not putting either on the block. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to space we go. George W. and the boys are all a-twitter about shuttling several gabillion of your and my tax dollars into their latest grandiose scheme called Shoot the Moon and Mars 2. Excuse my skepticism, but why? Maybe they got a tip that Osama bin Laden is hiding in a moon crater. Or maybe the CIA now has credible information that little men from Mars took Saddam's weapons of mass destruction up to their planet. Or maybe they're excited by the possibility of finding fresh supplies of water on Mars that their industrial backers can pollute. If these rationales are too far-fetched for you, try this one. The Moon-Mars shot is the first tangible step toward the Bushites' goal of militarizing space. Oh, you say, come on, Hightower, that's too loopy even for these warmongering lunatics. They wouldn't go that far. How short our memories are. Flashback with me to February 2001 when Bush gave his first speech on military policy. In space, we'll protect our network of satellites essential to the flow of our commerce and the defense of our common interest. All of this requires great effort and new spending. This speech reflected the zealous determination of Pentagon Chief Donnie Rumsfeld to expand U.S. military domination into space, including development of a space plane to transport weapons and spy on other countries, creation of a specially trained space force, and the placement of U.S. offensive weapons in space. Claiming that it is possible that some unnamed enemy might launch, quote, a space Pearl Harbor sneak attack on America, Rumsfeld created a new Pentagon post that year, staffed by a four-star general who was charged with overseeing the development of new weapons systems for outer space. This is Jim Hightower saying, by any rationale, Bush's mission to the Red Planet will sink our country in an ever-deepening sea of red ink, and it'll be all the more damning if our country is the first in history to weaponize the heavens.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program to Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. 11 programs left after tonight, and then this network tanks, and so do we. So if you have something you would like to get said, join us. Time is running out. Oh, my God. Correction. Al sent in a correction. I said last night, referring to Too Stupid to Be President's mishandling of everything he's touched all of his life, but most specifically, as the illegal and unelected president of the United States, I said he had cost the country 2.2 million jobs. Al emailed in to me, no, the figure is 3.2 million jobs. I stand corrected. That comes from the a comment by Richard Trumka, AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer, at a meeting back in September in Minnesota. So thanks for sending that in, Al. Hard to keep track when the numbers get that big, right? Ed sent this. Ed, did Ed send this? I guess it was Ed. Did you know, all this talk about Janet Jackson's breast. Well, guess what? The seal of the great state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, the state seal that says across the top, Virginia, and then underneath, Sic Semper Tyrannis, thus always to tyrants. And then there's a woman warrior standing there with a sword and a spear. And she's dressed in a Greek kind of toga. And underneath her left foot is the prone body of someone she obviously has just slain. And yes, the toga is off of her left shoulder. And yes, that is a breast. Right there. For all the world to see. All the world to see. Now, we mention this for a couple of reasons. First of all, Ed sent it. But secondly, Virginia is the home of both Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, right? Oh, my God, and there's a breast on the state seal. Now, don't they have to use the state seal, these phony, fake Christians, every time they, record a document as they continue to rip people off, these vampire, these religious vampires, when they set up another one of their phony corporations? Don't they have to, they have to register it with the state of Virginia, right? You have to register your fraudulent Christ-killing organizations. So they must know, Robertson and Falwell must know, that the great state of the seal of the great state of the Commonwealth of Virginia has a bare-breasted woman. Oh, my God. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I did? I just did? Okay. This is funny. Thanks, Seth. Thanks for sending this in. It's a pretty blue toga, and the guy who she has her foot on has a purple toga on. At least that's the way it came through on my lousy company-supplied laptop computer here. But that's what it looks like. Virginia, seek semper tyrannis, and there she is. Miss Virginia, or maybe it's just a warrior woman, and her left breast is right there for the world to see. Did you see this, Kathy? No? Do you want to see it? Huh? You don't want to see it. All right. Well, here's something we will never see. Roy in Placidas, New Mexico, sent this to me. What we will never see, George Bush looking very presidential, sitting at his desk in the Oval Office, hands folded, looking very solemn, looks directly into the camera and says, "Good evening, my fellow Americans. 10 minutes ago, I signed an executive order to this effect. As your commander-in-chief, I hereby order any officer, enlisted person, or civilian employee in any office of the United States Department of Defense or any branch of the armed services to be advised they are hereby authorized to release any and all of my service-related records except for my Social Security number. I expect the crack investigative media to do their duty and report their results to the American people. Thank you. God bless America. I was not AWOL. I got an honorable discharge." No, I don't think we're going to see that either, Roy. I really don't. Little weasel, sneaky, lying little bastard. No, he'll no. He's, yeah, never happened. Dick Cheney. How did I miss this? This is in the Chicago Sun-Times. Cheney was in Chicago, went to Rosemont, a big convention center out there in south suburban Chicago. 200 people. $1,500 a plate. $5,000 if you wanted to get your photo taken with this crumb bum thug. So he's given a speech, and he said that the former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein had the intent to build weapons of mass destruction. He said, quote, "We know Saddam had the capability to produce weapons, had the intent. For that, you murderous pig, 535 Americans are dead, 10,000 Iraqis are dead, hundreds, if not thousands of Americans wounded, God knows how many Iraqis are wounded, a country has been destroyed, you pig, Dick Cheney, you're going to burn in hell, you're going to burn for all eternity while snakes, scorpions, and spiders munch on your useless body. Did you know that? All these people dead, you murderer. J'accuse." What else we got here? The 911 panel, the Federal Commission investigating the attacks on this country engineered by the Bush crime family, are going to ask, according to the latest, according to, what is this, Associated Press? The 911 panel will ask Bush and Clinton and Dick Cheney and Al Gore to testify in public about possible warnings they might have received from U.S. intelligence sources before the attacks. Former Republican Governor of New Jersey Thomas Keene, the commission's chairman, said, quote, "We need them to testify." End quote. He said the panel would issue formal invitations within the next few weeks, although he conceded that all four men would probably decline to be questioned at a public forum. K Keene said their cooperation was crucial to the commission's work, so he hoped they would at least consent to private interviews with the panel. Clinton has previously said he will testify. He would be willing to testify. He said, all I have to do is ask. Bush said in an NBC interview with Media Whore number one, Tim Russert, that he would perhaps submit to questions from the commission. White House press whore Scott McClellan said today he would not say if Bush would testify. Lee Hamilton, who is the vice chairman of this commission, Democrat, told the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, quote, my hope in the end is that the president will agree and will meet with us and answer whatever questions we have, end quote. The plans are, according to Thomas Keene, former governor, the plans are to seek public testimony from Secretary of State Colin Powell, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, CIA Director George Tenet, Attorney General John Ashcroft, and their counterparts in the Clinton administration. Yeah, well, don't hold your breath on this one, truth seekers, okay? Don't hold your breath on this one. Colin Powell is almost had what I consider to be a mini nervous breakdown today. Was it today? Yesterday. Powell was testifying before the House International Relations Committee. Y'all have heard about this, right? We looked all over to try to get the sound for this, couldn't find it. But he paused yesterday during this hearing to jump all over a little junior staffer for shaking his head. The staffer sat there, where the members of Congress sit, and behind him, and they have these little staffers, and then the witnesses sit out there. Powell was sitting out there as a witness, and he noticed that one of the junior staffers was shaking his head, shaking his head as Powell offered his half-witted, half-assed defense of the statements Powell made. Before the American public, before the media, before the United Nations, and before the world on Iraq's alleged weapons of mass destruction, right? We all remember all that. All the lies. So he's sitting there, Powell is sitting there talking about this, and the staffer is sitting back there and is shaking his head, which is what I would do. Of course, I would give him a finger. Now, what happened was Powell was recalling for the panel Powell's review of the pre-war intelligence, quote, I went and lived at the CIA for about 4 days to make sure that nothing was, and then he stopped and he glared at the staffer seated behind the members of Congress, and then he said, are you shaking your head for something, young man back there? Are you part of these proceedings? Now, the remarks almost derailed the hearing. Representative Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio, a 12-year veteran in the House, objected. He said, Mr. Chairman, I've never heard a witness reprimand a staff person in the middle of a question. And then Powell shot back, I seldom come to a meeting where I'm talking to a congressman. I have people aligned behind you giving editorial comment by head shakes. Jesus Christ, Powell, you're going to lose it. You better up your dose of Prozac, dude. Now, Representative Dana Rohrabacher, this little neo-Nazi Republican from California, rushed to defend Powell. I think the secretary is owed an apology for that. That brought a reaction from Gary Ackerman, Democrat from New York, who had earlier in the hearing been cut off by Rohrabacher. And Gary Ackerman said, point of order, Mr. Chairman, has that gentleman who's speaking been recognized? He was referring to Rohrabacher. And then Henry Hyde, the adulterous old fart who has been dead for 5 years, but somehow they managed to reanimate him every morning and send him off to work. You know, the adulterer, Henry Hyde. He urged members to calm down. Everybody calm down or I'll break up one of your families. I'll go have sex with your wife. For much of the hearing, according to the Washington Post, Powell had calmly answered questions by Democrats over the Bush crime family's inability to find anything, despite all the alarms. Representative Ackerman said, truth is the first casualty of war. I would contend truth was murdered before a shot was fired.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So at that hearing yesterday when Powell really lost it, I can understand why. Powell is corrupt to begin with, but he was like given a second chance. His performance as a junior officer in Vietnam was pretty bad, according to the record, according to his own book, the destruction that he and his cohorts wreaked on villages. But then the cover-up, or the attempt to cover up the My Lai incident, the slaughter, the butchery of civilian women and children and old people, that was Colin Powell's job. Cover this up real quick, and he tried, and he couldn't do it. But Powell, it's almost like he was given a second chance, but he aligned himself with bandits and whores and thugs and outlaws, and that would be the Bush crime family, and whatever shreds of dignity or honor or decency that Colin Powell might have had was completely traded off in order to mount the horse with these thugs like, well, all of them, everybody in the Bush administration. They're all corrupt. They're all criminals. So Powell became testy in front of this committee the other day, and Powell is losing it. He is losing it. Didn't he just have surgery, Kathy? He just had prostate surgery, I believe. Yeah. So he's, you know, he's like so many people, men that have prostate surgery, the result of prostate surgery can be impotence and incontinence and all sorts of things. And that must be hell. That must be very difficult to deal with. And if you couple that, a normal result of this, I guess it's normal, result of this kind of surgery, if you couple that with the fact that you know you're a liar, you know that you are corrupt, and if you have any kind of sick religious training from some of these sick religions, you are going to link two and two and come up with, oh, God is punishing me. Must be rough. Must be really rough for these people. One of the questions or one of the comments from one of the members of Congress, which member of Congress was it? Sherrod Brown, the Democrat from Ohio. He said, in a reference to questions about whether Bush completed his National Guard service, he said, Mr. Secretary, you're one of the very few people in this administration that understands war. We have a president who may have been AWOL. And Paul snapped back, first of all, Mr. Brown, I won't dignify your comments about the president because you know what you're talking about. And Brown replied, I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean, Mr. Secretary. And Paul said, you made reference to the president. And Brown repeated, yeah, I said he may have been AWOL. Paul retorted, Mr. Brown, let's not go there. Let's just not go there in this hearing. If you want to have a political fight on this matter, that's very controversial, and I think it's being dealt with by the White House. Fine, but let's not go there. Really? Let's not go there. Okay, well, Kelly sent in to me something interesting, a little quote from Powell's biography, autobiography, My American Journey. And Kelly says, yesterday, Colin Powell was testifying before the committee, and a Congress critter asked him about the Bush AWOL story, and Powell feigned total outrage with the quote, let's not go there, let's not go there. This, of course, Kelly writes, is great soundbite material for the right-wing corporate media. If you watch cable news, I'm sure you'll see it played more than once for the next day or so. But what you won't see on the right-wing corporate news channels is the quote below from Colin Powell writing in his book about his real and personal views on people who joined the National Guard during Vietnam. Well, here's the quote. In Powell's autobiography, My American Journey, he says, quote, I am angry that so many of the sons of the powerful and well-placed managed to wrangle slots in the Army Reserve and National Guard units. Of the many tragedies of Vietnam, this raw class discrimination strikes me as the most damaging to the ideal that all Americans are created equal and owe equal allegiance to their country. End quote. Well, too bad the Congress critters didn't have that quote at hand like Kelly Kramer did and just repeat it back to this phony, hypocritical Secretary of State.
Said he would do his own duty, but he would extend it no further. The men could go as they pleased, but not a man moved. Their eyes gazed straight ahead till one by one they stepped back, and not a word was said. And the old general was left with his own words echoing in his head. He then prepared to fight. He said, I have seen the others, and I have discovered that this fight is not worth fighting. No.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
One of the most important fishing areas on the Atlantic coast is being overrun by tiny critters that don't belong there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Georgia's Bank is a relatively shallow part of the Atlantic Ocean, about 100 miles off the coast of Massachusetts. For hundreds of years, fishing fleets have combed the area for cod, haddock, and sea scallops. For the past 10 years, vast parts of Georgia's Bank have been closed to the fleets to give the fish a chance to recover. Scientists who monitor the area made a startling discovery last November. They say the seafloor is covered with an invasive species known as the sea squirt. The infestation covers more than 6 square miles, and it could interfere with the recovery of the Georges Bank fishery. Jeremy Colley is an oceanographer at the University of Rhode Island, and he's studied Georges Bank for 10 years. He says individual sea squirts are microscopic, but tens of thousands of them grow together to form dense colonies, and they cover the seafloor in a mat that resembles pancake batter. Colley says these colonies can kill or crowd out native organisms. For example, they can crowd out sea scallops that need to get a footing on hard surfaces at the seafloor. Colley says sea squirts typically thrive in coastal waters, and this might be the first time they've been discovered far offshore. Nobody knows for sure how they got there, although it's possible they were accidentally dumped out in the ballast of ocean-going ships.
Up until now, we've felt that these offshore areas are fairly unimpacted by human stresses. The finding of invasive species just basically adds another human-induced stress to the ecosystem that we now need to worry about.
Colley and other scientists plan to continue to monitor Georges Bank to see how the sea squirts affect it. He says it does not seem feasible right now to try to control or remove them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. I know a lot of people say, well, Malloy, you got to stop focusing on the Bush military story. No, I don't think so. That's like... When they used to say, gosh, you got to stop focusing on the Clinton can't keep his pants zipped story. There's an awful lot here, and whatever it takes to bring this thug down, I don't care. The American public apparently can't handle the truth where it concerns his destruction of the economy. The American public can't handle the truth where it concerns his destruction of the environment. Can't handle the truth where it concerns his destruction of our reputation. Can't handle the truth where it concerns the destruction of American lives and Iraqi lives. If it takes some cheesy-ass little scandal like lying about his military record to bring him down, whatever it takes, this crypto-fascist has got to be exposed. And just drag kicking and screaming out of Washington, D.C., if it's possible. Neil is calling from Urbana, Illinois. Neil, welcome to the program. I understand, Kathy said you were holding on last night. We never got to you. I do apologize.
It's all right. I just firstly want to thank you for doing this show. It's really, really good. Last night you were talking about capitalism.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with a lot of your statements. It just really ticks me off to hear, like, all these, like, right-wing apologists, you know, trying to justify the destruction of workers and workers' rights, you know, saying stuff like, well, their standard of living has increased, so this must be a good thing, you know.
Yeah, it really pisses me off when I hear these right-wing people talk about how even the poorest Americans have it a lot better than the people that live in, say, Niger or Liberia. I mean, what a rotten, racist, filthy thing to say to begin with. Yeah. But yeah, pure capitalism sees workers as nothing more than expendable parts, like cans of oil or gears that wear out and easily replaceable.
Yeah, I mean, there's statements like slaves had a better standard of living in the 19th century than they did in the 17th century. It's not an argument for slavery.
Right. It's not an argument really for anything when you get down to it. But you're absolutely right. It's not an argument for slavery, no.
And then they even get into, well, you know, well, in America, well, illegal aliens are stealing American jobs. I don't see, like, illegal aliens, like, hiding outside of Walmart ready to, like, jump you and then take your job in the Walmart. It's American companies that are fascist, greedy pigs, like Walmart, giving away jobs.
That's right. You're absolutely right. American corporations are stealing American jobs, especially the ones that pay enough for a person to make a living. Immigrants, whether they're legal or illegal, take the jobs that Americans can't afford to take in order to maintain their debt load or whatever it is they're trying to maintain.
Yeah, I mean, they sit there and they're like, well, you know, illegal immigrants shouldn't be paid equally to like legal immigrants because, you know, They're not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying, you know, a child who gets trapped in a well shouldn't be saved because he shouldn't have been playing near the well in the first place.
You're right. That's okay.
It makes me just want to, like, puke blood out of my eyes. And,
ooh, boy, does that conjure up an image.
And, like, last night you mentioned a lot that, you know, like, all the affairs and stuff that different members of the right-wing GOP had.
Right.
And I'm not really surprised about that. I mean, a lot of self-loathing and stuff like that, they're going to end up being moral hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what really surprised me the most is that since he's been married, George W. Bush hasn't had one. And, I mean, come on, Laura Bush's sex appeal is about as non-existent as weapons of mass destruction in Iran.
Well, we don't know. Look at, you know, the fruit doesn't fall very far from the tree. Look at Neil Bush. And look at Jeb Bush, both of whom I think Jeb hasn't, his affairs haven't been discovered yet, but Neil's have come out in this divorce. You know, all Marvin, all the Bush boys are you know, they're just pigs. And to say that one of them would be getting venereal diseases and having children out of wedlock and screwing Chinese whores, and the other ones wouldn't be doing the same thing, I think is a stretch, you know?
Yeah, it is a real stretch.
God, I hate these people.
Oh, yeah, I hate them, too.
Right. Well, Neil, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right, thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Oh, yeah, I know. On the Drudge Report. John Kerry! Oh, my God! Looks like he had an affair! Bring him down! Kill him! Burn him! Yeah, they want to see John Kerry's penis. Well, anybody with a face that long, you know. Sick bastards. You know, Matt Drudge, there's something just terribly wrong with this little weasel, isn't there? I mean, it's a guy who's fixated on other men's crotches, and he just opens the floodgates for all these crypto-Nazis, all these right-wingers, all these Republicans. They are just fixated on breasts. They're fixated on other men's penises. They are fixated on whether or not homosexual people are getting married. What is up with these people? Don't they ever get any themselves? Are they so dried up and juiceless that they have to worry about other people's sexual and reproductive apparatus? Good God! The White House has released President Bush's military dental records from the Air Reserve Personnel Center in Denver, Colorado, claiming the document proves that the president was at the base where he was to carry out his service in the Air National Guard. Bush's dental record, released Wednesday night, says Bush received an exam at the Denali Air National Guard base in Alabama on January 6, 1973. Well, I guess that settles that, right? Oh, God. Oh, my God.
The USA Today. Was it yesterday? USA Today. Big article. When USA Today and New York Times and Washington Post and Boston Herald, L.A. Times, Miami Herald, Chicago Sun-Times, when the newspaper, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, when the newspapers start, all these major newspapers start reporting a story they should have reported 4 years ago, you can bet your ass George Bush is in trouble. Now, the latest is this story about when Bush was preparing to run for president in, 98, 99, top-ranking Texas National Guard officers and Bush's advisors, among them Karen Hughes, Karl Rove, Andrew Card, the rest of these thugs, Joe Albaugh, who is now the head of FEMA, they all got together and discussed ways, according to USA Today, to limit the release of potentially embarrassing details from Bush's military records. That's according to a former senior officer of the Texas National Guard. Now, what do you suppose that means? They all got together to figure out a way to destroy evidence, right? A second former Texas National Guard official who spoke on condition of anonymity. Yeah, these people don't want a bullet in the back of their head, and then their wives being told they just committed suicide. A second former Texas National Guard official was told by a participant that commanders and Bush advisors were particularly worried about the records of George Bush's arrests before he joined the National Guard in 1968. Now, why does that matter? Because that's called a morals waiver. You try even when they go to draft you. If you have any kind of an arrest record, I remember when they came after me, anything over $200 fine. You were given a morals waiver while the morals officer checked out your record. Now, it just so happened I had that situation. I had been fined $200. I went to take my physical, and this sergeant had about 40 of us freaked out civilians in a room. A sergeant said, anybody in here been arrested, charged anything, we're fine, $200 or more. And I raised my hand and I said, sir, your honor, does that mean traffic violations? And he looked at me and said, well, I guess I got to repeat it for you dumbasses, don't I? I said. And he repeated it. And I just said, okay, you know, that's the way that goes. So I went down the hall to the morals officer, midshipman, because I took my physical at Jacksonville Naval Air Station in Florida. And I'm down there, and the guy says, okay, what's your story? And I said, I got a speeding ticket. I was fined $200. He said, $200 for a speeding ticket? I said, yeah, because I pled innocent. And the judge pissed off the judge, so he fined me $200, suspended my license for a year. And the young, this kid, who was younger than me at the time, I was 23 when they came after me, and this kid was about 18. He said, well, look, I said, there's nothing there. And he said, take it, are you crazy? This will delay. This will throw a cog sand into the gears here for at least 3 months. Take it. I said, oh, okay. With George W. Bush, they decided to hide everything so that he could get into flight school, so that he could get a commission. If you have an arrest record, you are not going to become a commissioned officer. Period. So what to do? Clean Bush's file of damaging information. This is exactly what they did when he decided to run for the presidency. They expunged his record from his driver's license. In Texas, apparently your driver's license has your entire history. If you have a history of any kind of arrest, speeding, murder, whatever it is, it goes on your driving record. So they cleansed his driving record. They cleansed his arrest record way back in 68. Every time this little snake has needed help, his pappy, his mammy, the rest of these thugs gather around this guy and clean him up. This junkie drunk. They clean him up. Bill Burkett, then a top advisor to the Texas National Guard commander, said he overheard conversations in which superiors discussed cleansing Bush's file. The White House dismissed Bill Burkett's charge yesterday, saying it was an outrageously false statement. However, two forms in Bush's publicly released military files, his enlistment application and a background check, contain blacked-out entries in response to questions on the form about arrests or convictions. Jesus. And then USA Today goes on. They say the nature of what was blacked out in Bush's records is important because certain legal problems, such as drug or alcohol violations, could have been a basis for denying an applicant entry into the Guard or pilot training. Well, duh. Especially since admission to the Guard and the Reserve back then in 1968, 69, 70, it was, how do you say it, highly competitive. They came for me in 65. But by 68, 69, 70, they were going for everybody. George Bush wasn't going to go. Oh, hell no. Now, the National Guard has cited privacy as a reason for blacking out the answers on these forms. So the public is not allowed to know of this cowardly little bastard who has sent 535 Americans to their death, thousands of Iraqis to their death. God knows how many Americans are coming back missing arms or legs from this cheesy, cheap-ass war run by Halliburton and Dick Cheney and Bush. Bush is not going to let the public know how unqualified he is to do anything, much less be the President of the United States. The full unmarked records of George Bush's miserable, crappy-ass career has never been released. And White House spokesman Bartlett did not respond yesterday to the USA Today to a request to release the records with nothing blacked out. And if you remember with the interview with media whore number one Tim Russert last Sunday, Bush said, oh, yeah, I'll release everything. Yeah, I'll release everything. USA Today goes on in an interview. Burkett, this is the guy who, Bill Burkett, top advisor to the State Guard commander. Burkett said he recalled Joe Albaugh's words at the time, quote, we certainly don't want anything that is embarrassing in there, end quote. That's when they were deciding to run Bush for the presidency. Burkett said he immediately told two other officers about the conversation and noted it in a daily journal he kept. The two officers confirmed to USA Today in 2002 that Burkett told them of the conversation. USA Today goes on, soon afterward, there was a series of meetings of top commanders at Texas National Guard headquarters at Camp Mabry. Bush's records were carried between the base archives and the headquarters building, according to Burkett. The meetings were confirmed in 2002 interview by USA Today with William Leon, who was the State Guard's Freedom of Information Officer in the 1990s. He was involved in discussions about what to release. Mr. Leon declined to comment on the substance of the meetings except to say, quote, we were making sure we released it properly and made sure we did it in a timely manner, unquote. Contacted at home Wednesday night by USA Today, he refused to talk and said, don't ever call me again at home. I'll call your publisher and sue you, end quote. Albaugh, who's now head of FEMA, James, and the White House denied Mr. Burkett's story. As President, Bush has since elevated Mr. James to be director of the Air National Guard for the entire country. See, that's the payoff. When you do business with the Bush crime family, you can be sure that if you're loyal, you will get a nice, handsome payoff. So that was the payoff given to Major General Daniel James, the guy who took care of the cleansing of Bush's criminal record. This is your president I'm talking about, by the way.
And I fought my way to Yale. saving money, kept my drunk ass out of jail. Oh, I'm George W.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, Don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
5 before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. David is calling from Skokie, Illinois. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. Hi. Hey, I wanted to read you something that I got off of Nate Clay a few weeks ago. It's called You Can Run, But You Cannot Hide. It says, you can run, but you can't hide from the mounting death toll of American soldiers you placed in harm's way. You can run, but you cannot hide from the innocent people, Americans and Iraqis, who have been killed and injured due to your deceptions. You can run, but you can't hide from the body bags that keep returning from Iraq, nor can you hide from the breach of faith in attempting to prevent news coverage of the flagged, draped coffins. You can run, but you cannot hide from your own dereliction of duty to attend the funeral of soldiers who have died. I'm almost finished. You can run, but you cannot hide from the widows, widowers, and orphans you've created and the dreams you've ended. Mr. Bush, where is Osama bin Laden? Where is Saddam Hussein? Where are the Iraqis who are to greet our troops as liberators? Where are our American allies? Where is the United Nations? Where are the weapons of mass destruction, Mr. Bush? The weapons you are looking for are in the dangerous repository of your own mind and hands. Your entrance strategy for the war, like an earlier war in Vietnam, was based on deceptions, and as the quagmire deepens, your exit strategy appears non-existent. You can try to hide from the truth and try to hide it from us, but it has a way of finding light. Mr. Bush, you can continue to deceive, twist, and equivocate, but you can't hide from the debts and untold sorrow of yet another war, unilaterally illegal, immoral, and unnecessary. I wanted to read that to you.
Well, you just did.
What do you think of that?
Certainly no argument from me, David. This guy is corrupt. This guy has blood all over his blood stains all over his hands. He's a horse's ass, and he needs to be put out of office.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
All right. Thanks, David.
I wanted to read that. Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. The Nate Clay David's referring to, of course, is a talk show host WLS. Probably the last liberal they have there, right, Kathy? I think he's only on Saturday night into Sunday morning, or Sunday night into Monday morning. Yeah, he's on very, very late. The last liberal. Oh, my God. We are getting harder to find than the proverbial needle in a haystack. All right, quick break here. We shall return. If you're on hold, stick around. Love to hear what you got to say. We have miles to go before we sleep, so stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
Mike Malloy Show weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The ongoing war in Iraq cost about $4 billion in September, spiked to $7 billion in October, and hit just under $3 billion in November, the Pentagon said Wednesday in its latest report on how much the military operation costs. Congress has already approved $166 billion for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Pentagon has said it does not expect the Bush administration to seek another spending bill until January 2005, but the chiefs of the Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps suggested Tuesday that money will run out by the end of September. More than 27,000 defense contractors owe a total of $3 billion in unpaid taxes, according to government records reviewed by congressional investigators. That represents almost 14% of the contractors registered with the Pentagon as of February 2003, according to auditors at the General Accounting Office. They tallied total taxes owed by the contractors in the budget year that ended September 30, 2002. An aerospace executive warned a presidential commission Wednesday that NASA does not have enough money to achieve George W. Bush's goal of returning astronauts to the moon and flying from there to Mars. Undertaking a new space objective on the cheap would be an invitation to disaster, said Norman Augustine, retired chairman of the Lockheed Martin Corporation and head of a panel that examined the future of the space program for the first President Bush. Questions about George W. Bush's military record continue to hound the White House, and the White House late last night responded by releasing dental records. The dental records, received among a batch of other medical records which were not released, provide proof that Bush actually did serve in the Guard while in Alabama in 1972, according to Press Secretary Scott McClellan. Democratic critics are quick to point out that Bush promised to release all records pertaining to his Guard service and that the selective release is raising more questions than it is answering. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
An Italian woman who had her breasts enlarged with the biggest silicone implants available is being hunted by police after she skipped out on the $9,500 plastic surgery bill. Police say they have few leads as the woman used a false name, but are relying on a photograph and her unusually large bra size to find her, a newspaper reported Thursday. The woman did a runner from the exclusive private hospital in Rome a day after the two-hour operation, which doubled her breast size. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to space we go. George W. and the boys are all a-twitter about shuttling several gabillion of your and my tax dollars into their latest grandiose scheme called Shoot the Moon and Mars 2. Excuse my skepticism, but why? Maybe they got a tip that Osama bin Laden is hiding in a moon crater. Or maybe the CIA now has credible information that little men from Mars took Saddam's weapons of mass destruction up to their planet. Or maybe they're excited by the possibility of finding fresh supplies of water on Mars that their industrial backers can pollute. If these rationales are too far-fetched for you, try this one. The Moon-Mars shot is the first tangible step toward the Bushites' goal of militarizing space. Oh, you say, come on, Hightower, that's too loopy even for these warmongering lunatics. They wouldn't go that far. How short our memories are. Flashback with me to February 2001, when Bush gave his first speech on military policy. In space, we'll protect our network of satellites essential to the flow of our commerce and the defense of our common interest. All of this requires great effort and new spending. This speech reflected the zealous determination of Pentagon Chief Donnie Rumsfeld to expand U.S. military domination into space, including development of a space plane to transport weapons and spy on other countries, creation of a specially trained space force, and the placement of U.S. offensive weapons in space. Claiming that it is possible that some unnamed enemy might launch, quote, a space Pearl Harbor sneak attack on America, Rumsfeld created a new Pentagon post that year, staffed by a four-star general who was charged with overseeing the development of new weapons systems for outer space. This is Jim Hightower saying, by any rationale, Bush's mission to the Red Planet will sink our country in an ever-deepening sea of red ink, and it'll be all the more damning if our country is the first in history to weaponize the heavens.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. To your phone calls here in just a moment. New York Daily News, first of all, New York Times is reporting the two former officers who talked about scrubbing Bush's record. As most of what I was quoting for you there was from USA Today, but it's in New York Times. New York Post, or New York Daily News, not the Post, New York Daily News, published yesterday that Bush went to the Alabama unit without Air Force permission. The one he allegedly went to, probably showed up and then boogied. The Daily News says Bush left his Texas Air National Guard assignment, moved to Alabama in 1972, even though the Air Force denied his request for a transfer. He went anyway. That's according to his own military records. The Daily News says, in fact, Bush didn't even ask for an official transfer until 9 days after he moved to Alabama in May of 72. The Air Force, according to Daily News, quickly rejected Bush's request, saying Bush was ineligible to move to the Alabama unit that Bush wanted, a squadron of postal handlers. Bush, no offense, mail carriers, no offense at all, but Bush wanted to be an Air National Guard mailman or mail handler or whatever the PC term is. Again, no offense to postal workers, but Jesus Christ. I mean, here's a guy who, in an act of utter cowardice, gets into the Texas Air National Guard, then decides he wants to go to Alabama and become a mail handler. 5 months later, his Texas commanders issued written permission for this punk to be there. Good God. And another aspect of the deserter in chief's record that hasn't been answered by anybody satisfactorily is why he missed a physical in 1972 that caused him to be suspended as a pilot. Don't forget, after he said "screw you" on that physical, then according to military regs, he could not be a pilot anymore. Now, back in 1999, Karen Hughes, this strange woman who was working to try to get Bush elected president of this country, said that Bush missed his physical because he was in Alabama and there were only a few special doctors who could do physicals. And the American public bought that. Oh, my God. Do you all remember? I remember that. I remember when Karen Hughes said that. And we just laughed our asses off. What are you talking about? You're in the military. You go to a military doctor. Now, simple Scotty McClellan wouldn't even let that question be asked. Yesterday, when a Daily News reporter tried several times to ask about that missed physical, you remember we played the soundbite for you. McClellan kept saying, "I'm not going to engage in gutter politics. I'm going to focus on what we're doing to make the world safer, to make the world a better place." Lawrence Korb, a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Personnel and a Navy flyer in Vietnam. And by the way, I have sat across the desk from Lawrence Korb and interviewed him. This guy was Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. He said that a pilot losing his flight status is a serious matter. Korb said, "We spent $1 million to train George Bush to fly. You're supposed to be ready to fly if we need you. If you didn't show up for your flight physical..." Good heavens. We know why he didn't show up for his flight physical. Because he was a cokehead. Because he was a junkie. He was a drug addict. Just like Rush Limbaugh. And it was in his urine. It was in his blood. And he didn't dare show up. Or mommy would have smacked his ass around and said, "What's wrong with you? Your father got you into this unit. And now you're screwing up, boy." George W. Bush. What a punk. What a total punk. Now, the fact that he did not show up to take that required annual flight physical, according to the Boston Globe, that should have prompted an investigation by his commander, a written acknowledgement from Lieutenant Bush at the time, and perhaps a written report to senior Air Force officials. That's according to Air Force regs in effect at the time. What he did, you don't do. He missed his physical, and 30 months before his flight commitment ended, he was suspended as a pilot. Now, this is in 72, and according to the Boston Globe, he also did not attend National Guard training for several months that year and was permitted to cut short his military commitment a year later in 73. Can you see? Now, Scott McClellan, of course, says, "Well, you know, you're just trolling for, what was his expression? You're trolling for trash or something? Trolling for trash? No, you jackass, we're trolling for the truth." Now, for people who fly in the military, which I never have, the annual flight physical is a line they got to cross in order to keep their flying status. You must take your flight physical, period. In fact, the flight surgeons who conduct these examinations, they have the power to remove pilots from flying duty. Now, For all of us over a certain age who watched all the movies back in the 50s when we were growing up about World War II, right? What was that movie Jimmy Stewart was in about the Strategic Air Command? Remember that? And he got grounded by the flight surgeon so you can't fly anymore. The flight surgeon to a pilot is God. No, he's above God. God can only crash your airplane and kill you. The flight surgeon can tell you you can't even get into the plane. And according to the Boston Globe, two retired National Guard generals in interviews said they were surprised that Bush or any military pilot would forego a required annual flight physical and take no apparent steps to rectify the problem and return to flying. Brigadier General David McGinnis and Major General Paul Weaver Jr. said there is no excuse for that. Aviators just don't miss their flight physicals. Now, Major General Paul Weaver just retired in 2002 as the Pentagon's Director of the Air National Guard. Brigadier General David McGinnis, former top aide to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Reserve Affairs, said in an interview that Bush's failure to remain on flying status amounts to a violation of the signed pledge by Bush that he would fly for at least 5 years after he completed flight school in November 69. General McGinnis said failure to take your flight physical is like failure to show up for duty. It's an obligation you can't blow off. Unbelievable stuff. And this little rat bastard, Scott McClellan, who says to the crack White House press corps, "Hey, you're just trolling for trash. Just trolling for trash. Trolling for trash. Oh, that's been released. Trolling for trash." A September 29, 1972 order sent to Bush by the National Guard Bureau, that's the Defense Department agency which oversees the Guard, this order noted that Bush had been verbally suspended from flying on August 1st. The written order made it official. Quote, reason for suspension, failure to accomplish annual medical examination. Now, the order required Bush to acknowledge this suspension in writing, and it went on to say, the local commander who has authority to convene a flying evaluation board will direct an investigation as to why the individual failed to accomplish the medical exam. Now, after that, the commander had two options, to convene this board to review Bush's suspension or forward a detailed report on his case up the chain of command. Either way, officials said there should have been a record of the investigation. Well, of course there is. But the public will never see it.
No, I'm talking about...
Unbelievable stuff, huh? It's not the act... It's the attempt to cover up the act. I mean, Jesus, all these thugs that run this country now are graduates of the Nixon School of lies, murder, and deception. Don't they remember? It's not the lies, you jackasses. It's your attempt to cover them up. Man. Trolling... for trash. That's what Simple Scotty calls it. Trolling for trash. All right, one last thing here, and then we're coming to your calls. Dear President Bush, with heavy heart, tears in my eyes, and a home full of sorrow, I pick up my pen to write you about a brave soldier, Second Lieutenant Seth Dvorin, U.S. Army. My son was killed in Iraq on February 3rd, fighting in a war. Seth was a good boy. Well-mannered, smart, kind, and understanding. He joined the Army in an effort to serve his country, and serve his country he did. Seth made the ultimate sacrifice. Burying a child will no doubt be the hardest task that his mother and I shall ever have to do. The one question I have, and the one question I'd like to ask you, and I'd like you to answer, is why did my son and every other soldier that was killed, maimed, and wounded have to suffer settling your vendetta? My son is gone just when he was laying a strong foundation to build upon for the rest of his life. Now Mr. Bush's life has been snuffed out in a meaningless war. Where are all the weapons of mass destruction? Where are the stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons? Please, Mr. President, pray for all our fallen heroes, and as a tribute to these heroes, get our boys and girls out of Iraq. Since you waged this unnecessary war on Saddam Hussein, the world has become a horrible place to live in. I know my boy is safe now. In a new world free of hate and prejudices where God is his president. But you tell me, President Bush, why he had to go so soon and in such a violent way. Respectfully, yours, Richard M. Dvorin. Published in the Home News Tribune, February 5th, 2004.
You have to decide whether to lose the scary at hand, God on his side. So now as I'm leaving, I'm a weary
this town. Looking good, good, I'm feeling. Ain't no tongue can tell the words in my head. They fall to the floor. And if God is on our side, he'll start the next one.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Ring them bells, St. Peter, where the four winds blow. Ring them bells with an iron hand so the people will know. Oh, it's rush hour now.
All America.
is saddened when one of our soldiers loses life. On the other hand, I think most Americans understand the cause is important and the cause is just.
Yeah, right. 24 past the hour. All right, your phone call's in just a second here. Memphis Flyer. What's the date today? Is today the 12th, Kathy? This is tomorrow's paper. Two members of the Air National Guard unit that Bush allegedly served with as a young guard flyer in 1972 had been told to expect him and were on the lookout for him. He never showed, however. The two men are certain, Bob Mintz and Paul Bishop. Mintz, who's from Memphis, Tennessee, now 63, quote, I remember that I heard someone was coming to drill with us from Texas, and it was implied that it was somebody with political influence. I was a young bachelor then. I was looking for somebody to prowl around with. But, says Mintz, that somebody, better known the world now as President of the United States, never showed up at Denali. Is that how you pronounce that, Denali? In 1972? Nor in 1973, nor at any time that Bob Mintz, now a FedEx pilot and a former Eastern Airlines pilot, can remember. Mintz said, and I was looking for him. He said that he assumed that Bush changed his mind and went somewhere else to do a substitute drill. It was not somewhere else, however. But the 187th Air National Guard Tactical Squadron at Denali, to which the young Texas flyer had requested transfer, so he could go to work on the U.S. Senate campaign of Winton Blunt. And it goes on here. Both these guys, Mintz, who at one time was a registered Republican and in recent years has cast votes in presidential elections for independent Ross Perot and Democrat Al Gore, confesses to, quote, a negative reaction, end quote, to what he sees as out-and-out dissembling, that means lying, on Bush's part. Quote, you don't do that as an officer, you don't do that as a pilot, you don't do it as an important person, and you don't do it as a citizen. This guy's got a lot of nerve, end quote. This lying bastard. This lying, sneaky. Is anybody surprised? Kevin's been holding on forever. He's calling from Tampa. Hey, Kevin.
Not forever.
Well, half of forever, then.
I wanted to talk about Karl Rove, but I just wanted to mention first that letter that you just read before. That should be on the front page of every newspaper in this country.
I know. There have been several like that, especially from parents. You know, it is unnatural for a parent to see their son die.
Well, I tell you this, my son, my youngest son, who hopefully will be 21 in April, on February 1st, left for Iraq. He's one of those reservists who went in for college money, and he's in Baghdad right now.
Well, I hope he will remain safe, Kevin.
Well, so do I. But what I called you about was Karl Rove. I think we've given him too much credit over the years, and I think we're beginning to see it come out now. He's not that smart. The whole Bush thing is falling apart. You can see it all over. And you can see Bush looking scared as anything right now. And what has happened has been this stuff is coming out and all this negative, the David Kaye, the military record. And it started with, well, particularly with Dean, but Dean and Kucinich, but Dean's the one that got the press there. They gave the Democrats some balls. And they stood up and they started fighting back. The other candidates, except for Lieberman, the other candidates started pouring it on when they saw the reaction Dean was getting.
Hey, hold on a second, Kevin. I hate to put you on hold, but we got to take a quick break here. And we will come back and finish up with Kevin and take your call right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
One of the most important fishing areas on the Atlantic coast is being overrun by tiny critters that don't belong there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Georgia's Bank is a relatively shallow part of the Atlantic Ocean, about 100 miles off the coast of Massachusetts. For hundreds of years, fishing fleets have combed the area for cod, haddock, and sea scallops. For the past 10 years, vast parts of Georgia's Bank have been closed to the fleets to give the fish a chance to recover. Scientists who monitor the area made a startling discovery last November. They say the seafloor is covered with an invasive species known as the sea squirt. The infestation covers more than 6 square miles, and it could interfere with the recovery of the Georgia's Bank fishery. Jeremy Colley is an oceanographer at the University of Rhode Island, and he's studied Georgia's Bank for 10 years. He says individual sea squirts are microscopic, but tens of thousands of them grow together to form dense colonies, and they cover the seafloor in a mat that resembles pancake batter. Colley says these colonies can kill or crowd out native organisms. For example, they can crowd out sea scallops that need to get a footing on hard surfaces at the seafloor. Colley says sea squirts typically thrive in coastal waters, and this might be the first time they've been discovered far offshore. Nobody knows for sure how they got there, although it's possible they were accidentally dumped out in the ballast of ocean-going ships.
Up until now, we've felt that these offshore areas are fairly unimpacted by human stresses. The finding of invasive species just basically adds another human-induced stress to the ecosystem that we now need to worry about.
Colley and other scientists plan to continue to monitor Georgia's Bank to see how the sea squirts affect it. He says it does not seem feasible right now to try to control or remove them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Twenty-seven before the hour. Back to Kevin in Tampa. All right, where were we?
Yeah, I was talking about Karl Rove.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know, he's gotten a lot of credit being that he's this political genius. The political genius actually lost the 2000 election.
Mm-hmm.
They stole it. He lost the popular vote. In 2002, the Democrats were doing okay in the election, and then they went along with this war thing, and they just kind of shut up and played wimp. Now, starting with Dean and Kucinich and the rest following suit, again, except for Lieberman, they started piling on Bush. And then Terry McAuliffe finally got the guts to stand up and say something about it.
Right.
And you see, I'm seeing senators like Durbin and Dorgan in the Senate making big noise about the budget and other things.
Mm-hmm.
That one congressman yesterday was all over, well, not all over, but Colin Powell got all over him because he made a remark there.
Right.
And that congressman didn't back down.
Right.
The point I'm getting at is the Democrats learned that you stand up to them. They finally learned that. I can't believe these guys are there and they're that stupid.
Well, I hope that's the case, Kevin.
Well, you see it. See what's happening. Look at why is he running to meet the press? Because he knows he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I'm just hoping the Democrats, if they have these elected Democrats, if they have all of a sudden developed some spine, I hope it doesn't go away. I hope it's a real spine and not just spongy cartilage. You know, make it be real spine. The only way to stand up to a bully, and I don't care what kind of a bully, a political bully, a bully on a school bus, or a bully like George Bush, is to stand right in their face and smack the living hell out of them. All you have to do is do it one time. And a bully is essentially a coward. Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, George Bush, Rumsfeld, these are all cowards. These are all very frightened, late middle-aged or old men, most of them white, just scared little rabbit bastards. And all you have to do is stand up to them. And, you know, I mean, Bart Kopp has been saying this for a couple of years. Most people who understand how a bully works have been saying the same thing. You don't respond to these Republican punks by trying to negotiate or by trying to compromise. Who was it? One of these Republican thugs said that compromise or bipartisanship is the same thing, is just another word for date rape. You know, I mean, when you have a group like that is hell-bent on destroying this country, they have to be removed. They have to be removed one way or another. And I hope that the Democrats have figured out that if they don't stand up, they're going to lose everything. And that means we're going to lose everything. And
well, I think they have realized
I hope
that.
So.
And I think Howard Dean started it.
I don't disagree with you there. Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah, any of these bullies. You know, that's one of the hardest things. I remember when my youngest son, well, so far, until this baby Kathy and I are Megan is born. But my youngest up to this point, Chris, when he was in third grade? Second grade. Yeah, I guess it was like second grade, 7 years old. And there was a boy in his class who constantly picking on him, And I had taught Chris to be, you know, to be nonviolent. It seemed like I was going to the principal's office once a week and saying, you know, this got to stop. Finally, the principal, her name was Cheryl, she said, look, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm not encouraging your son to get in a fight, but Chris is going to have to learn to defend himself. Whoa. Okay. So, you know, being me, I immediately enrolled him in a Taekwondo, a karate class. That's right. This is so long ago. This is 20 years ago almost. I enrolled him in a karate class. Before you knew it, he had his purple belt. What do you have? White, yellow, purple, green was in there somewhere.
Tom Ridge to me.
And all of a sudden, the young boy that was harassing him, it stopped. And it stopped when finally Chris just took this kid down and bloodied his nose. And that was the end of that story. And I think, you know, it's true with any bully, whether he is the alleged president of the United States or the alleged secretary of state. I say alleged because none of these bastards deserve to be in office. They're all there illegally. No matter who it is, if it's a fat Tony Scalia, this mafia thug on the Supreme Court, no matter who it is, all you have to do is stand up to him, and they immediately collapse. And I hope Kevin's right. I hope that's what's going on, that Democrats have figured this out, that there's nothing the Bush crime family can do to them that would be worse than their own compromising of their values, their dignity and their honor. These pink tutu Democrats, I'm just sick of them. I'm sick of them. So I hope Kevin's right. Daryl is calling, our Detroit bureau chief. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing just fine.
Good.
Mike, I think a couple of things you actually picked up on already and talked about.
Uh-huh.
I've been watching this progressive, painful revelation of these new allegations, quote unquote, new allegations made by disgruntled Democrats about George Bush's service or lack of service, mm-hmm. and how they've been producing these documents, and they come out and claim that they actually, you know, that answers the question. Let's move on. Now,
right? Yeah, time to move on.
Nothing here to see.
Right.
And I haven't yet been able to hear somebody, although I have heard they had a guy on. I think Chris Matthews had a guy on tonight, of all people,
uh-huh.
who was saying, "Hey, I saw them talking about doctoring documents."
Right. Uh-huh.
And I heard them. I think if you have an accident, one of the things that I learned. I don't know much about the law, but if you're out in the street someplace and you have an accident and you want to get somebody to document your version of it,
mm-hmm.
you ask somebody, did they see it?
Right.
And then you ask somebody else, did they hear them say that they saw it?
Right.
Okay, so you get a corroborating. This guy had corroboration.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
He said, hey, these other guys, I told these other guys back then, and they said, yeah, he told us the same thing. I still don't see anybody referring back to www.awolbush.com,
mm-hmm.
asking people to, well, how do you deal with this document that, it's a photocopy of,
right.
like that he signed, and he said, I promise to fly.
Right.
And
right.
he didn't even finish flying his hitch. His promise was to keep on flying.
Right, and he didn't, we now know, because he missed a physical, and we now know he missed a physical because he was a drug user.
If they could get somebody to go ahead and connect these dots, they're still putting out on MSNBC, this is George Bush's timeline history. And they go down through the points and conveniently miss the fact that he was disqualified from flying.
I thought about that too, Daryl. At what point is somebody in media going to make the obvious conclusion and back it up by putting everything together? I hope some reporter someplace, some modern version of Woodward or Bernstein, is working all of this out, all this timeline out, and saying, look, this son of a bitch lied. Not only did he lie, but he was a drug user. Not only was he a drug user, which is why he couldn't take his physical, but he spent some of the time taking a young woman off to get an abortion. Not only was he doing that, just go on and on and on and put it all together, which is what they should have done during the campaign in 2000 and spared this country what we have gone through for the past 3.5 years.
Yeah, well, there would be, maybe like 15, 20,000 more people alive in the world today if they had done it back then. But I'm beginning to wonder, if you had a caller earlier that said, you're giving too much what do you call it?
Focus on the story?
No, not focus on the story, but too much credit to Karl Rove. In a way, he's kind of correct, I think, because mm-hmm. really Karl Rove has been successful because of the lack of the power of the Fourth Estate, which is turned into the corporate estate and therefore does not act mm-hmm. as a check and balance against what the executive does.
Well, that's a good point.
So maybe, in fact, what he's saying is true to an extent that in the absence of any kind of serious questioning of whatever pablum they actually put out,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing there,
yeah.
then clearly every move that he makes to obfuscate stuff remains obfuscated. I mean, nobody says anything about it. I mean, he hides his papers in his daddy's library. No problem.
Yeah.
No, nothing wrong with that. When he shows up, having served, 6 months of public service
mm-hmm.
with a, community organization? What was that about?
Yeah, really. You don't do that unless you have been charged with some fairly serious violation of the law and your family is either wealthy or well-connected politically. Then you wind up doing a community service. Yeah, what was that about?
And the fact is, okay, if you're going to come clean with it, I mean, he could have made an argument. Look, this is 30 years ago.
Well, that was the drug bust. And, yeah. And you know, I've made it clear on this program, I think people ought to have the right to use drugs if they want to. It's the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
It is the nastiness of George Bush. All of this stuff should have come out during the 2000 campaign, but it was all scrubbed and expunged, Daryl. That's what scrubbing his driver's license record was all about.
Exactly.
You know?
Gave him a new driver's license. And then
got rid of all those convictions.
Got rid of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And has anybody ever read 1984 and talked about Newspeak and revision of history and thought that it was not going to happen? We are living it today.
We're living it.
We are living it.
Right.
We are hip deep in it today.
Yes, we are. Thanks, Daryl.
Take care.
All right, sir. I appreciate you jagging in. I was just saying, I was listening to Daryl, but I was also thinking while he was talking, all the familiar voices that we hear, Kathy and I hear on this program, dozens and dozens and dozens of people. It is going to be rough, isn't it, Kathy, when this program finally tanks? What do we have, 11 programs left after tonight? How are we going to get through a week without hearing all these voices, all these people, and the emails? A lot of folks who don't call the program for whatever reason, but send in email after email. It is going to be difficult. It is going to be real difficult. All the bureau chiefs, you know, we make a joke about that because, you know, in mainstream media, our CNN bureau chief in Beirut, you know, that kind of thing. And just regular callers, just the people who have contributed so much to this program. I remember when this program first came on the air, and I don't think we were web streaming at the time, not at the very beginning. And it was just hell trying to get reestablished after being at WLS and being off the air for about 10 months, 8 or 10 months. And slowly, 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 a lot of help came from Bart Kopp and Democratic Underground and Buzzflash. And I'll have to say, once we went web streaming, Democratic Underground, the folks over there just did an awful lot to get this program out. But we're going to miss it. We are going to severely, severely miss it. Now, I realize we have 11 shows left. I'm not, you know, we're not, I hope. I mean, you know, you never know. You never know in this business. Hell, this may be our last show. You never know. But we've been told the 27th of February is the last night. So that's 11 more programs after tonight. But I was just thinking, you know, just think about Daryl. You start to wonder, you know, what do these folks look like? What do they do? I know some of the folks have said, well, I do this or I do that. Remember Roger from Augusta, our military attaché, and our assistant military attaché from Iowa. All these crazy little titles we gave everybody. Joe down in Texas and Margie out in Bakersfield. Just on and on and on and on. The people who have contributed to this program. And I just, when I was on WLS in Chicago, that's one of the advantages working at a radio station. You can have these get-togethers. And we did. Marianne, our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, used to come to those. We used to have, we'd get together at a pub in Chicago every once in a while and just, you know, announce on the air, hey, we're going to get together and drink some beer and raise some hell. And we'd have a couple, 300 people show up and just hang out. Remember that, Kathy? We used to go to, what was Collins in Lakeview in Chicago, one of the neighborhoods in Chicago. Irish pub. Nancy Skinner would be there and, Ski Anderson and Eric Zorn from Tribune, he would come by, and all the folks who participated in the program, liked the program, and we had it all, man. We had black, white, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight, up, down, left, right, a lot of fun. And doing a program like this is difficult to do that because the audience is scattered all over the country. But man, I'll tell you, we are going to miss these phone calls. We are going to miss the support that people have provided for this program over the past 3 years plus. It's that's the truth. That is the truth. I'm not trying to get maudlin on you. I'm not. I'm just, you know, I'm just saying, hey. And just listen to Daryl. That's the, you know, just triggered. It's like, damn. that's our Detroit bureau chief. And how familiar these voices start to sound. You notice that, Kathy? It starts to sound like family. Honest to God. It starts to sound like, hey, what's happening? Just checking in. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. Hey, auntie. You know, everybody checks in. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Jesus. Stay with us. Quick break. We'll be right back.
So long, honey, baby, where I'm bound, I can't tell. Goodbye is too good a word, baby, so I just say fairly well. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, baby, I'm on the dark side of the road. But I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway. But don't think twice, it's all right.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. What's the problem?
But I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of Political Talk, Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Free radio, only with Mike Molloy.
Five before the hour, Mark sent this in regarding dental records. The Bush crime family released a document showed too stupid to be president, got his teeth cleaned or something in Alabama. Mark writes in, dental records are typically used to identify the dead. You're right. Yeah, you got that right. Cliff is calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Cliff.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Okay. It's been a while. You probably remember me as Cliff from Santa Fe.
Yeah. What'd you do, move?
Oh, no. It's just been a while. Just been pretty busy working on other stuff. So.
Yeah? Well, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. I have to sort of interject about Karl Rove. He's more than half a Machiavelli. I mean, what he sort of reminds me of is, I don't know if you've ever read the novel Dune or the...
I've tried to about six times, and I think Frank Herbert is a great science fiction writer. I even tried to watch it, the movie, and it's just hell. I get the general drift of the novel, but I have never completed it.
Well, anyway, if you want to see a really good adaptation, the Sci-Fi Channel's Dune, which is like on DVD, is really good.
Okay, I'll remember that because it's fascinating, but it's just tied my brain in knots every time I've tried to read it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like reading a Russian novelist or something, only worse.
Well, anyway, the main character, his name was Vladimir Harkonnen. He was like a 200, actually it's about 400-pound man who couldn't support himself on his own weight.
Right.
And so he had like...
Well, you're not going to do the whole novel for me now.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. What I'm saying is, anyway, he was like 400 pounds, and he had what they called suspension units, which allowed him to float above the ground.
Right.
And Karl Rove sort of reminds me of him because in the novel, he is just a really nasty character, really, really shrewd, really, really vile, doing anything he can do to screw anyone over. And so that's the picture I have of Karl Rove. So I don't think it's time to forget about him now.
Yeah. I think you're right. Kathy has read Dune, and she's tried to explain it to me, but my eyes just kind of glaze over. But that's, I remember that character, obviously. So Cliff, thanks for checking in.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait. You had something else to say, I think. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back, okay?
Sure.
All right? Because we hate to just blow you off the air like that. Quick break here. We'll be back. I think Cliff wants to talk about Matt Drudge and John Kerry. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
You're listening to Mike Molloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Questions about George W. Bush's military record continue to hound the White House, and the White House late last night responded by releasing dental records. The dental records, received among a batch of other medical records which were not released, provide proof that Bush actually did serve in the Guard while in Alabama in 1972, according to Press Secretary Scott McClellan. Democratic critics are quick to point out that Bush promised to release all records pertaining to his Guard service, and that the selective release is raising more questions than it is answering. An aerospace executive warned a presidential commission Wednesday that NASA does not have enough money to achieve George W. Bush's goal of returning astronauts to the moon and flying from there to Mars. Undertaking a new space objective on the cheap would be an invitation to disaster, said Norman Augustine, retired chairman of the Lockheed Martin Corporation and head of a panel that examined the future of the space program for the first President Bush. The ongoing war in Iraq cost about $4 billion in September, spiked to $7 billion in October, and hit just under $3 billion in November, the Pentagon said Wednesday in its latest report on how much the military operation costs. Congress has already approved $166 billion for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Pentagon has said it does not expect the Bush administration to seek another spending bill until January 2005, but the chiefs of the Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps suggested Tuesday that money will run out by the end of September. More than 27,000 defense contractors owe a total of $3 billion in unpaid taxes, according to government records reviewed by congressional investigators. That represents almost 14% of the contractors registered with the Pentagon as of February 2003, according to auditors at the General Accounting Office. They tallied total taxes owed by the contractors in the budget year that ended September 30, 2002. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Barbara Bennett wanted to sell her Brother brand sewing machine, so she bought a classified advertisement under miscellaneous in the Columbian newspaper in Vancouver, Washington. Instead, the words sewing machine were accidentally dropped, leaving a Brother for sale ad. One caller wanted to know if the price was negotiable. Another, upon hearing what was actually for sale, said merely thank you and hung up. Bennett, a customer service representative, said Tuesday she has two Brothers in California and is not putting either on the block. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica.
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to space we go. George W. and the boys are all a-twitter about shuttling several gabillion of your and my tax dollars into their latest grandiose scheme called Shoot the Moon and Mars 2. Excuse my skepticism, but why? Maybe they got a tip that Osama bin Laden is hiding in a moon crater. Or maybe the CIA now has credible information that little men from Mars took Saddam's weapons of mass destruction up to their planet. Or maybe they're excited by the possibility of finding fresh supplies of water on Mars that their industrial backers can pollute. If these rationales are too far-fetched for you, try this one. The Moon-Mars shot is the first tangible step toward the Bushites' goal of militarizing space. Oh, you say, come on, Hightower, that's too loopy even for these warmongering lunatics. They wouldn't go that far. How short our memories are. Flash back with me to February 2001 when Bush gave his first speech on military policy. In space, we'll protect our network of satellites essential to the flow of our commerce and the defense of our common interest. All of this requires great effort and new spending. This speech reflected the zealous determination of Pentagon Chief Donnie Rumsfeld to expand U.S. military domination into space, including development of a space plane to transport weapons and spy on other countries, creation of a specially trained space force, and the placement of U.S. offensive weapons in space. Claiming that it is possible that some unnamed enemy might launch, quote, a space Pearl Harbor sneak attack on America, Rumsfeld created a new Pentagon post that year, staffed by a four-star general who was charged with overseeing the development of new weapons systems for outer space. This is Jim Hightower saying, by any rationale, Bush's mission to the Red Planet will sink our country in an ever-deepening sea of red ink, and it'll be all the more damning if our country is the first in history to weaponize the heavens.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Oh, by the way, I guess I haven't mentioned tonight. I mentioned it last night. Yes, I'm going to do Fox News Channel this Sunday, John Kasich's show from the Heartland. He is the former Ohio congressperson who now has his own TV show on this corrupt, filthy network. And I don't know why I agreed to do it, but I did agree to do it. And it'll be between 8 and 9 Eastern Time. And the producer there called Kathy the other day and said that I would probably be on either at 8:20 or 8:50. So as not to tie up all of Thanksgiving, we're still going to be able to have our not Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day. We're still going to have, I'm sorry, we're still going to have our date.
Oh yeah, we got a date planned.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we have a Fox, courtesy of Fox. We have a limo picking us up. How about that? Damn.
That's more than you were going to spring for, right?
I don't have any money. I'm about to be unemployed, and you're pregnant. What are you talking about? Anyway, that's Valentine's Saturday night, and I'm going to be on with some freak named Hugh Hewitt from California, some talk show host. I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. So if you want to have a good time, Sailor, tune in Sunday night to Fox News Channel.
Saturday.
Saturday, I'm sorry. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, tune in Sunday on Thanksgiving.
Tune in Sunday on Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, Saturday on Valentine's Day. Blah, 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 blah. And Kathy informs me that we will have Valentine Day music tomorrow. Tomorrow's our musical tribute to Valentine's Day. We can't wait for that. All right, back to Cliff in Albuquerque. Now, you wanted to say something about this scurrilous report on Drudge's website and John Kerry, right?
Oh, yeah, just that, you know, they're so absolutely disgusting. They'll use any little detail about a person's past, whether it's Dean sealing his records or Dukakis with that one Willie Horton incident. And
well, they love sex. If they can get, if Republicans, these crypto-Nazis, if they can find a sex thing... remember, Hillary Clinton's a lesbian. Bill Clinton can't keep his fly zipped. It's amazing to me how these people are fascinated with Democrats' sex lives or sex organs or
yeah.
or what have you. It's there's something clinically wrong with these people.
Yeah, it's bordering on the pathological.
It really is,
and it's really infantile too.
Yeah,
it's like what little boys at mid school or elementary school do.
Right, I'll show you mine if I can see yours.
And and what makes it even more irritating is they do 10 things that are 10 times as worse is what Democrats do.
Oh, I know. You know, people on the crazy right, all of these Republicans who have been divorced and remarried several times, from Bob Barr to Newt Gingrich to it just goes on and on. And then you look at Bill Clinton, the guy who had his girlfriend, and he and Hillary have been married for what? Forever. And they managed, on whatever basis, it's immaterial to me, but they managed to survive. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have been Bill or Hillary Clinton during a 98, 99, 2000?
Yeah, if I was in that position, I'd probably have lots of people killed or something. I certainly couldn't handle
it. Or kill yourself. The entire world is talking about your sexual infidelity. Can you imagine how Hillary Clinton felt?
Yeah.
Now, did these Republican snakes, these rat bastard Republicans, show any compassion for Hillary or for Chelsea? No, of course not.
Absolutely
you know,
not.
They're just filthy. So it's not surprising to me. The only thing surprising me about digging up something, an allegation on Kerry, is that it took him so long.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it took him so long. These people are vile. If I were king of the universe for a day, I would probably have them all. Just have all their heads chopped off and thrown into hell so that the demons down there could use them as soccer balls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
thanks.
That's a very medieval description.
It is. Very Hieronymus Bosch. That's the second time tonight, I think. Very, very Bosch-like. You know, just pinch your heads off and throw them into hell. Thanks, Cliff.
Okay, you're
all
welcome.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. Was that the second time tonight, or was it the other night, last night, Kathy, when I mentioned Hieronymus Bosch?
Thanksgiving.
Bill is calling from College Town, PA. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mike. I have to take issue with something you said about the tail end of the first hour.
Okay.
You referred to George Worthless Bush as a president.
I'm sorry.
And I got to tell you, that bandy-legged, coke-snorting, brain-dead, born-again-lying, wacko, hypocrite, draft-dodging, deserting, smirking, monkey-faced moron is not my president.
That's true. I'm sorry. I lost my head there for a minute.
You could call him Resident Bush.
Yeah.
Or you could call him Commander-in-Chief or the Cheerleader-in-Chief.
Or Governor.
Your Governor, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Dog Catcher. But listen, I can't get enough of hearing this stuff about his draft dodging.
Really?
And it's all over every talk show. Doug Steffen, Tom Hartman show, the Marianne Williams show, the Young Turks, and also on the shortwave bands, Joyce Riley's program.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about the pig man Limbaugh or the pig boy Hannity? Are they talking about it?
I can't listen to that.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. That's
right.
That's right.
That's the reason I got serious to listen to the real truth.
Yeah, to get away. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, listen. And by the way, that election that Bush worked on in Alabama, the guy lost.
Probably because Bush wasn't there either.
That's right.
You know, that's where he was running drugs out of, I don't know, Costa Rica or someplace, probably. I have no idea.
That's right.
But, yeah.
Listen, have you guys gotten any closer to getting a new gig?
We have not. Absolutely zero offers at this point. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Not from any radio station, any network. Nothing. So, you know.
You ought to try contacting Joe Clayton, the CEO of Sirius, because there's lots of slots open. You know, a lot of these programs are repeated.
Well, Sirius doesn't. They don't produce programs. They carry programs that are produced someplace else. They're not a content provider, I guess is the term.
Well,
they're a vehicle.
Lynn Samuels is on Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
She is a former talk show host from WABC, 770
right.
AM.
Right.
She's in their studio in Manhattan.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe, Kathy, do you know about this?
Tell about Lynn Samuels.
Look into it. The guy's name is Joe Clayton. He's the CEO because I wrote and complained when he started preempting your show with basketball games.
Then I'll call him up and say, hey, Bill raised hell with you because you were preempting my show.
And I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, Mike, I have one request.
Sure.
In case I don't get through to you again. Will you make me an honorary bureau chief?
Well, you can be a bureau chief. Where do you live? College Town, PA?
Yeah.
All right, then you're College Town, PA bureau chief.
By the power vested in you as the best talk show host on both sides of the Mississippi.
There you go. Now you have to send in your dues, of course.
Okay.
You know, send me a check. And no, I'm just kidding. All right, the College Town, PA bureau chief is now Bill. Kathy, write it down. And Bill, when you call in, if you call in again before we boogie over the next 2 weeks, you know, just say this is Bill, College Town, PA bureau chief. Okay.
I'll do that. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Apparently, Lynn Samuels is the only personality that Sirius airs itself, and it's only as Bill pointed out, once a week show, as I understand it. Plus, she's right there in New York. I don't know. Maybe at some point Sirius or XM, the other satellite provider, will start producing programs. But it's my understanding, other than Lynn Samuels' program, they just don't do that. Just don't do it.
Thanks for holding.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I'd love to be the first or second one or the first one with The Daily Show. But you never know, you know. Fred Rogers is on the phone. Is that right, Kathy? Fred Rogers is on the phone? Mr. Rogers? Well, I don't see how that could be, but all right. Well, that's right. He's called in before, even though he's dead. Well, hi, Mr. Rogers.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm the same as always and always will be.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike,
yeah.
What I hear you saying
yeah.
is that you do not like our president any better than you did last month or last year or the year before that.
You're very perceptive.
Yeah.
No,
go ahead.
No, you're very perceptive. I always enjoyed that about your show. You're very perceptive. You're right. That's true.
And we need to talk about that because, Mike, you're going on to better things, bigger things, I think. You talk about producing. It sounds like you're producing a little something down there in Atlanta. You got the wife in a family way, and yeah. We love that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but you're not alive anymore to entertain my kid once it's born.
Mike, I'm going to entertain you right now, and that's what's important, because I entertain you, and you entertain the world.
Okay.
Now, Mike, I don't know what's going to happen next as far as your broadcast career, but I'm concerned about your soul.
My soul? Okay, Fred.
And I need you, if you're willing to do a little something with me right now, I'd like to do something with you right here.
Well, as long as I don't get wet doing it.
No, I don't think you will.
All right.
I want you to go inside, perhaps close your eyes if you wish.
Okay.
And look at that little fella that you really don't like so well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have to like what he does, Mike, but
right.
He's a child of God like the rest of us. He's a kind of a little bandy rooster sort of character. And he kind of creates a lot of damage in people's lives because perhaps he has been put in the wrong position for which he is not entirely qualified.
Yeah.
But I don't think that hating him is exactly what we should be doing. Perhaps praying for him might be a little more appropriate. What do we think, Mike?
Well,
you can come out of your space.
I can open my eyes now?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God. It's dark in here. Let me just say that, you know, you're dead.
Well, that makes me so much the wiser.
Well, it may be, but I'm still out here in the cold, cruel world where hate is a very energizing, viable source of energy. Where you are, there it doesn't exist. You don't need it. But you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's up to you if you want to join the Hieronymus Bosch bowling team. It's it's fine. Mike, anyway, we love you. We'll see you up here eventually. And, by golly, I don't know what we do about that little guy, but he's a fright, ain't he?
I gotta drown him. Thanks, Mr. Rogers.
Mike, we love you.
Well, you take care now.
Okay, bye bye.
All right.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is I think Al Franken's right in that we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Southside Carl is checking in. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir.
You know, today Bush was out talking about jobs and everything. And I guess it was just the other day he was talking about the unemployment rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a little confused. They talked about, well, how the unemployment rate, I think, went down 0.2% or something like that, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But today I'm looking at the crawl story, you know, on one of the cable channels.
Right.
And they're talking about something like 300-some thousand new job claims.
New job what?
Not new job claims. Unemployment claims.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, and your point is?
Well, I'm trying to figure out.
What? Your point is they lied? Your point is what they said was not true?
Well, it seemed like, well, every time they want to say something good is happening, a few hours later,
they
the
revise
other part
it.
Of the story comes out.
Right, exactly. And when they publish these new job numbers, if you wait 2 weeks, they always revise those employment numbers. They always get revised down, never revised up.
I didn't misread that then. So you heard that, and it wasn't me misreading it.
No, I didn't hear it, but I've heard that so many times. It happens every month. And Carl, if you read it, I'm sure it's the truth.
I saw on there 300-something, I don't know if it's 3,250,000 new job claims. I forgot which month. I don't know if it was January. It might have been for January, and they said due to inclement weather.
Unemployment. Unemployment claims. Yeah, unemployment claims. Yeah.
There was another thing, two other things. I didn't talk to you yesterday, but his new thing about nuclear proliferation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well,
George Bush talking about we got to stop the spread of nuclear weapons. What in the hell is he talking
and
about?
And I wonder, well, when is somebody going to read the Patriot Act? No, not the Patriot Act. His preemption policy.
Right.
And read that policy where it says that, well, we have reserved the right to attack anybody that we suspect might be a threat to our security.
Right, right.
And that also within this, you know, this policy, we include the use of nuclear weapons.
That's right.
Now I'm like, well, you know, he came in and he broke a treaty with Russia about nuclear weapons, freezing them.
Right.
So that the Congress, which they put in the last budget money for developing new
the little tactical nukes, right?
Kind of nuclear weapons,
right?
And I thought proliferation involved, well, just any nuclear weapon.
Carl, see, there you go again. I keep telling you got to put your hand on the radio.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute, something inconsistent here.
No. Don't look for consistency. And so you're trying to use logic. There you go again, using logic and rationality and reason and common sense and truth and honor and justice. Man, and come on, Carl.
Well, then
this is the Bush crime family.
Well, before I forgot one more story I had before I get to my main one.
What?
Wait a minute.
I got to put you on hold. Before you get to your main one, all right, I'm going to take a break here. We'll come back. I'll let you have one more story. All right? Stick around.
Killer arsenal as a deterrent. I'm interested in having an arsenal at my disposal.
Blow something up. That's what bombs are invented for, so you can blow stuff up. Let's blow something up. When all else fails, let's blow something up. When all else...
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
One of the most important fishing areas on the Atlantic coast is being overrun by tiny critters that don't belong there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Georgia's Bank is a relatively shallow part of the Atlantic Ocean, about 100 miles off the coast of Massachusetts. For hundreds of years, fishing fleets have combed the area for cod, haddock, and sea scallops. For the past 10 years, vast parts of Georgia's Bank have been closed to the fleets to give the fish a chance to recover. Scientists who monitor the area made a startling discovery last November. They say the seafloor is covered with an invasive species known as the sea squirt. The infestation covers more than 6 square miles, and it could interfere with the recovery of the Georges Bank fishery. Jeremy Colley is an oceanographer at the University of Rhode Island, and he's studied Georges Bank for 10 years. He says individual sea squirts are microscopic, but tens of thousands of them grow together to form dense colonies, and they cover the seafloor in a mat that resembles pancake batter. Colley says these colonies can kill or crowd out native organisms. For example, they can crowd out sea scallops that need to get a footing on hard surfaces at the seafloor. Colley says sea squirts typically thrive in coastal waters, and this might be the first time they've been discovered far offshore. Nobody knows for sure how they got there, although it's possible they were accidentally dumped out in the ballast of ocean-going ships.
Up until now, we've felt that these offshore areas are fairly unimpacted by human stresses. The finding of invasive species just basically adds another human-induced stress to the ecosystem that we now need to worry about.
Colley and other scientists plan to continue to monitor Georges Bank to see how the sea squirts affect it. He says it does not seem feasible right now to try to control or remove them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do being on the tractor as much time as I do or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Finally,
majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Hey, that's us, the majority, huh? All right, back to Carl in Chicago. Carl, wrap it up for me. No more two things, one thing.
The other thing would be real quick, though. You probably missed the interview with the guardsman who overheard a conference call to...
Yeah, we talked about it.
I'm not online, so I didn't know if you talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about it. It's in the USA Today. It's in New York Times.
You know, so, Matthews had him on interview tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the last main thing was this. I had saw Colin Powell at the hearing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, saw him said that he took offense.
Yeah, where were you?
Rod Brown questioning.
Yo, Carl, where were you watching that? Because we couldn't find. Was that on C-SPAN?
It was on C-SPAN, but we only have C-SPAN 1 and 2, and I think it might have been on C-SPAN 3.
Oh, okay.
It was just, I think they showed it during a clip on one of the cable news shows. So
okay.
I don't know if it was live. It wasn't live on one or two. So
okay, because I wanted to get that sound of him going off on the staffer who was sitting back there smiling.
Well,
but anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. You know, I looked at Colin Powell, and when he was Secretary of Defense, And after he left that job, I said, well, this is one black man who had a lot of admiration for.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's a Republican, I thought that, well, he could be a black man who could maybe be president, you know, that, which would be something of an accomplishment and something of a change in this country.
Right.
And it was disappointing that he said, well, he didn't want to run.
Mm-hmm.
And I was disappointed that, you know, he was. Because some things like that, you know, it only comes every now and then.
Sure.
But
well, you remember why he said he didn't want to run?
Yeah.
He was afraid of the violence.
Yeah, but,
against him and or his wife.
But over the course of his tenure under Bush and this stuff yesterday,
mm-hmm.
as a black man, I hate to say it, but I have to say he's our new House Negro.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and the thing is, with the House Negro, when they freed the slaves, he didn't understand it well. His freedom meant that he had a choice, that he could leave.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm seeing in this guy now. I said, well, you know, he's working for somebody who don't even have the qualifications, shouldn't even be there.
Well, you know, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Carl, I really do, but I take a slightly different tack, and that is he, like anyone who goes to work for this this right-wing group, they cut a deal, literally cut a deal with the devil. I'm not saying George Bush is a devil. He's just a freak. He's just a punk and minor player here. But the devil in this situation are these people who operate behind the scenes, like Cheney, like Richard Pearl, like Wolfowitz, all these thugs. And I think my take is Colin Powell is just like so many of these people who signed up with the devil, and in the process of doing that, obviously, you know, you've read your literature, you know what happens when you make a deal with the devil, you lose your soul.
Yeah, well, I know they talk about, well, be a team player, but and then I thought, well, maybe, you know, it might be some of the military indoctrination that, well, you know, you just follow orders. But I'm like, well, you know, like I said, he has a choice now. He's not in the military no longer, and he's not enslaved any longer.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. He has a choice, you know, to know, well, because I didn't see these kind of values in this guy before, and it's like, I'm just, you know, it's just a big total disappointment. And
I understand what you're saying with that, sure.
Yeah. Okay then, Mike.
All right, thanks, Carl.
I'll see you later.
All right, appreciate what you had to say. Appreciate what you had to say. Yeah, and I do understand that. I mean, I really do. I really do understand that as close as a white person can understand that. How, you know, after being driven into the ground in this country for 400 years, after watching this country built on be built on slave labor, after watching for two or three centuries how this country prospered under capitalism, where human beings were literally property, bought and sold. They were, you know, we were talking about this the other night. I don't want to get back into that thing, but from a white person's perspective, which is fairly limited in understanding the Negro experience or the African-American experience, I still maintain that I can get a sense of what it must be like to be a person, an American of some African descent, and to look at Colin Powell back when he was rising up, making his mark, busting through the white and into the white power structure in a way that Ron Brown or Condoleezza Rice the first black general who made it into I've got his name right on the tip of my tongue. But, you know, all of a sudden, sure, watching folks like that break into the inner core of white power is impressive. But when you have a man like Colin Powell, who becomes Secretary of Defense and Secretary of State, and there's serious talk about vice president or president, I can imagine that for an American of African descent, after 400 years of not just slavery, but Jim Crow and nigger this and nigger that and sit in the back of the bus and get out of my way, boy, all of a sudden, it's like, wow, you know, I've got a champion. I'm a black man and I have a champion now. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, I have a champion. I have somebody who's out there. And then to find out that he's been totally compromised. And it's hell because Dr. Ken, remember Dr. Ken in Chicago, Kathy? And, you know, he used to tell me that white people judge the entire black race by what one black person does. And white people don't do that about what one white person does. You know, the unfairness is just astonishing. But it's understandable why that happens. You know, after 400 years of the worst kind of oppression, you know, to find a hero and go, well, you know, maybe white folks will respect me now because here's a black man who is, you know, doing this and doing that. And then to find out. And the fear in there is that, oh, my God, not only has Colin Powell let me down, I'm a black man, not only has Colin Powell let me down, but he's proven that racial stereotype that white people have been laying out there for 400 years, that somehow I and my kind are not as good as they and their kind. So I know where you're coming from, Carl, in a way. In a way. I can't get to it, obviously, because I'm, you know, I'm white. I am Caucasian. I'm not really white. If I were white, I'd scare the hell out of myself. And I'm only predominantly Caucasian to begin with because I'm Italian. Oh, never mind. All right, moving on. Carl, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, Carl. Ruth is calling from Orlando. Hey, Ruth.
You're such a white guy.
I know, I really am.
White guy. You're just a glow in the dark.
Oh, God. Have you ever seen a really white person? They're scary, man. They really...
Yeah, I was in the Navy, and I was stationed in Great Britain in Wales, and in the summertime, the Scandinavians would come down to go to the beach, and you've never seen white people until you've seen a Scandinavian who's had, you know, who's been in the winter for 6 months, and they come down and put their shorts on.
That's what I've heard. Look like people...
Those are some white people.
People from the Village of the Damned, huh?
Yeah, that's it. That's
but,
it.
But what you really
that's
called about...
I know. I digress.
You did.
I want to know if you remember hearing about this is about Bush's more nefarious Bush crap. This is about Bush's guard duty, but this is an aspect of it that I really wish would come out because it drives me crazy because I'm a veteran. Bush ran for Congress in 1978.
Right.
Right, and he lost. In his congressional literature, in his campaign literature that he put out, in his bio, he put out that he had served in the Texas Air National Guard and the U.S. Air Force.
He did?
He did.
So he lied about came, he lied about that too.
And this came out during the presidential campaign in 2000.
Well, I missed that completely.
It was there. And they asked, it came out for about 30 seconds because they were so busy destroying Gore that Bush was getting away with everything. I mean, all the guard stuff came out then, too, and they spent about 30 seconds on that, and then they went back and said, oh, Gore is such a liar.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I saw a press conference with Karen Hughes, and all the reporters were, you know, asking her about this, and Karen Hughes' response to this, remember Karen Hughes, never met a lie she didn't like.
That's right.
That's right. Karen Hughes' response to him claiming to have served in the Air Force as well as the Texas Air National Guard was, it's okay to do that because everybody knows, quote unquote, everybody knows that the Air National Guard is part of the Air Force.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, and I was thinking, okay, this is going to hit the fan. 4 years ago when this came out, when she said that, I thought this is going to hit the fan. Everybody's going to go crazy about this because, you know,
right.
I was in the Navy. The Marines is also in the Department of the Navy, but there's no way I can claim service in both the Navy and the Marines.
Right. No, you can't. But you're not But you're not George Bush.
No, well, I'm not magical.
If you were George Bush, you could claim white is black, up is down, left is right, and you were in the Air Force.
So I called Sherrod Brown, however you say his name, that representative.
Yeah.
I saw him talking to Colin Powell yesterday. I saw the clip on it.
Yeah.
So I got on the phone today and I called his office and I was like, I'm really glad you did that.
Really?
And by the way, because I really wish somebody would do like a LexisNexis search or something and dig this up, because it just drives me crazy. Not only did he cheat on the guard stuff, but then 5 years later, he lied about it. And then 22 years after that, he lied about it again.
Right, right.
You know, if you need any more documentation that this is a lifetime of lying, and lying about military service while he's trashing our veterans, I mean, it's right here.
Yeah.
You know, it drives me crazy because, you know, it's a veteran thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you knew about that.
No, that blew right by me. I might have heard about it back during the campaign, but
it did. It came out, and it was like there was so much else going on, and then they went right back to trashing Gore, and I was sitting there going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is a really big thing.
You know what?
It's a huge thing. You're running for Congress, and you're lying about military service in your bio?
And nobody called him on it.
Well, they did briefly. Karen Hughes said, everybody knows. Everybody knows. And probably most of the reporters weren't veterans and didn't know.
Right.
I have no idea why they would have. So anyway, I wanted to run that past you. And then one other thing I wanted to tell you real quickly is I sent some packages to troops over Christmas, and I got a letter back from a lieutenant in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a little blurb, and he was telling me what they were doing, and he said he's in Kirkuk. Kirkuk,
yeah.
And they're building a 5,000-man base. They're building one. They're constructing a base.
Right.
A 5,000-man base.
Permanent. Yeah, well, that's the whole idea for our being there, other than getting the oil, is to establish a permanent base so that we can.
That's pretty much the size of a small city there. 5,000 people is a pretty fair-sized town.
It is indeed. But the U.S. military presence around the Caspian Sea area is going to be permanent, and they want to use, since we're not using Saudi Arabia anymore. That's part of what this whole invasion of Iraq was about, is to get out of Saudi Arabia, pull our bases. We had two or three or four bases in Saudi Arabia.
You know, we have to get out of Saudi Arabia because that was one of the conditions
right.
Osama sent.
Right, absolutely.
And we have to make Osama happy, don't we?
And now in Iraq and in Afghanistan, up in Turkmenistan, in Tajikistan, we are surrounding that Caspian Sea area where the gas, natural gas and the oil is, because there's not much left on the planet, and the Bush crime family wants to make sure that their buddies get the concession on it. So that's what this Iraq base is all about. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure it is. I'm absolutely certain that that's what's going on. I was just, you know, just one more thing that you're not hearing about on the news.
He's such a liar, such a liar. Ruth, thanks for checking in.
Bye, Mike.
Bye-bye. You have a nice evening. Remember that the movie Judgment at Nuremberg, Charles Laughton, Marlene Dietrich, Charles Laughton was the prosecutor. He was one of the prosecutors. And there was that scene, and I forget exactly, but
Spencer Tracy was in that.
Yeah, Spencer Tracy. But I think it was Charles Laughton when he was questioning Marlene Dietrich, her character, whoever she was playing. She was on the stand, and he said, "And you lied about this."
Yes.
"And you lied about that."
Yes.
"And you lied about this."
Yes.
"Is it not true? You are nothing more than a liar." Oh, God. Do you remember that scene? Ah. We'll have to look that up on Google, because that was... I was young when I saw that, and it just scared the hell out of me. Charles Laughton scared me anyway, but...
Ooh, that Maximilian Schell, though. Mm.
Was he in it?
Yeah. He played the German, defense attorney, basically.
Long time ago. Kurt, one of our over-the-road truckers driving in Colorado, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Kurt.
Hello there. I just got a quickie that I wanted to get off my chest. It's
okay.
Somewhat off-topic or insignificant.
Well, hold on a second, all right? Got to do a break, and I'll come right back to you, Kurt.
They want to recount all the votes since the bats gave machines some strife and woe. They say, just say, I'm lying all the time. George W. and Cheney did. Couldn't win without a slimy trip. To Washington they had to run. States' rights just weren't that much fun. Don't you hate crap, they just keep lying all the time. They just keep lying all the time.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Man, we're just about out of time, but we're talking with Kurt, who is driving in Colorado. Hey, Kurt, thanks for holding on.
Hello there, Mike. Just something to get off my chest. How important you want to consider is up to for debate, I suppose. But anyway, this Janet Jackson thing is such a non-issue, insignificant, who gives a rat's ass thing. But they made such a big stink about it, they got to debate it in Congress as if there's nothing more important to debate.
I know, isn't it sick?
I just wish I wish I was a woman there that whatever this award show was, I think every woman up there should have bust every button, pulled her shirt open. Every man that went up on stage should have mooned the whole damn bunch of them. Got to run around bare-ass naked or something. But anyway, that's not exactly what I was going to say. But what I was going to say is they make such a big stink about the human body or nudity or whatever.
Right.
And yet it's just dandy fine for any kind of blood, gore, and guts squirting and chainsaw carving, whatever. PG-13, take your kids and giggle about it.
Yeah.
Buy them, have imitation automatic weapons.
Yep.
Take them hunting, give them a target lessons or whatever else.
Yep.
But anyway, blood, gore, and guts is just dandy fine tee-hee about it. And yet nudity or the human body or breastfeeding in public is such a big taboo. What in the hell's the matter with these damn bastards? Sorry about that. I shouldn't use that language either. Fucking bastards.
Oh, no. Don't say that.
That's an adjective.
No. Can't do it, Carl. Can't. Kurt, I mean, can't do it. I think they nailed you in the home office. Bono can say that, but can't do it. I'm sorry. No, can't say that. I know. The FTC ruled you can use the F word as an adjective, but no. Woo! Well, that brings us just up to the point where we can say Valentine's Day music tomorrow night. The program produced tonight here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announced for us. Program Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Program engineered in Detroit by John Lucas. What else we got? Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief, and Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Now, having said all that, I can go on the phone here, and Budzilla is calling from Dallas, but Budzilla, we don't have any time, dude. Can you call in tomorrow?
I'll be glad to, Mike.
All right, Budzilla. Thank you, sir. All right, folks. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
No more lies, no more, no more lies.
Tia Carrera is on the front. Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.